everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this World Communion Sunday. We are delighted that you are here and that we are able to gather together this morning. I have a few announcements to share with you. The first announcement is you should have all received a copy of the October Valley in your inbox. If you haven't, let me know and we'll make sure that you get a copy of it. The Women's Association has asked me to remind you that they are going to have a meeting next Sunday, I believe that's October 11th, right before the worship service at 10 o'clock in the library. This is open to all women in the congregation, so if you would like to attend, you are welcome. Please mark your calendar for Saturday, October 17th. That will be the day of our fall craft show. We are excited that we are gonna be able to do it. And if you have any questions about it, please see BJ or Carol. I'd like to remind session that we are going to have our monthly session meeting on Wednesday, October 14th, that's right before the craft show, at 7 o'clock via Zoom. I'm sure Cliff will be sending out a link for that meeting closer to it. Final announcement is that we are going to be celebrating communion together this morning. Yay! It's going to look slightly different than it normally does. First of all, Kristen is going to be helping me with the communion liturgy, so there'll be two of us speaking. And she and I are going to be doing the prayers from the pulpit microphone so you can hear us, and so we're not breathing on the elements right before you're about to consume them. After I bless the elements, I will hand them to our session members and they will distribute them to you at your seats. I'll remind you again of these changes as we get closer to our celebration of communion. Those are all of the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? Carol. Okay, so Carol is getting ready to get you guys your envelopes for 2021. If you would like to change from getting a weekly envelope to a monthly envelope, let her know. She can make that change happen. All right, friends, let us begin our worship service today with our call to worship. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of his faithful people. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with timbrel and harp. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Praise Ye the Lord Almighty.
Thank you.
join me in the prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done. And we have done those things which we ought not to have done. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared to the world in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O merciful God, for his sake, that we may live a holy, just, and humble life to the glory of your holy name.
Friends, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, let us greet one another in faith. morning, everyone. I have a few prayer requests and joys to share with you this morning. The first is to please keep Kathy Sagi in your prayers. She was at PASS event this past week for a series of neurological tests. They're trying to pinpoint what exactly is happening. I believe she's home, but recovering from the battery of tests. We will continue to pray for all of the caregivers in our congregation, people that are caring for parents who are helping with grandkids navigate virtual learning, parents navigating virtual learning. Caregiving is always a challenge, and it is particularly a challenge during this time, so we will lift our caregivers up in prayer today. We will continue to pray for a treatment and a vaccine for COVID-19. This morning, I feel it is appropriate to pray for our president, who has been diagnosed with coronavirus, I believe, on Friday. Just prayers for his recovery. We have a lot of joys to share this morning. The first joy is that we are able to gather together to celebrate World Communion Sunday this morning. I also heard that Libs is doing better, and I am grateful for that. Not as grateful as Arlie is, but grateful that she is doing better. Also, I am grateful that Debbie is here with us this morning, filling in for Mickey. So thank you so much for being here with us and giving Mickey a week off. I'm sure she appreciates it. No other prayer requests? All right, friends, please join me in prayer. Great God of all, we come before you on this World Communion Sunday to celebrate our oneness with Christ and our unity with one another. Even on this wonderful and joyous day, we take a moment to lift before you our prayers. Lord, we pray that you attend to the sick and bring them healing. Lord, we pray that you be with Kathy Sagi as she recovers from her testing this week. Lord, we also ask you to strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we lift up to you all of our caregivers, particularly as they deal with the challenges that COVID has brought. We pray particularly for caregivers who are not able to be with their loved ones due to various COVID restrictions. We pray that you would be with parents and grandparents as they're helping kids navigate virtual and hybrid learning. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we continue to pray for a treatment and a vaccine for COVID-19. We continue to pray for all of the Americans that are struggling with this disease. This morning, we lift up to you, our president. Finally, Lord, we present our joys to you with gratitude. We thank you that we were able to gather together to celebrate World Communion Sunday in person. We thank you that Libs is feeling better, and we thank you that Debbie was able to be here with us in worship. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have revealed your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear, but may we also do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our offering. Thank you.
scripture for today is from the 21st chapter of Matthew. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized the servants. They built one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures? The stone builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd because the people held that he was a prophet. The word of the Lord.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today is a special day in the life of our church. Today we gather together to celebrate World Communion Sunday. We celebrate World Communion Sunday on the first Sunday in October. On this day, we celebrate our oneness in Christ with our brothers and our sisters who are gathering together to celebrate communion today throughout the world. Did you know that World Communion Sunday was first celebrated here in Pittsburgh at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in 1933? The Reverend William Kerr, the pastor of Shadyside at the time, wanted to celebrate the interconnectedness of brothers and sisters in Christ during a rough moment in American history, the Great Depression. Many years later, when asked to reflect how World Communion Sunday gained in popularity, Reverend Kerr said, "It was during the Second World War that the spirit caught hold because we were trying to hold the world together. Worldwide communion symbolized the effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. It emphasized that we are one in the spirit and the gospel of Jesus Christ." I am particularly looking forward to our celebration of communion today. Because of the coronavirus pandemic, we actually haven't gathered together in person to celebrate communion since February. While I'm grateful for the gift of technology that allowed us to practice virtual communion during Holy Week, communion is a practice best celebrated in person. It's hard for us to reflect on our unity in Christ when we're all calling in from homes all over our city. Now, when I first read our scripture passage for today, the parable of the tenants, I wasn't sure how it related to World Communion Sunday. What does a story about a tenant farmer rebellion have to do with our unity in Christ? But after kind of sitting with it this week, I'm convinced that this parable serves as a warning about what happens when we take our unity in Christ for granted. Because when we trust more in our own authority than in the authority of Jesus, we can justify all sorts of bad behavior. In our parable for this morning, a wealthy landowner plants a vineyard. At harvest time, he sends his servants to go and collect the fruit that the tenant farmers had been nurturing that season. Now, this would have been a very common practice in the ancient Near East. The landowner doesn't have the time to go collect the fruit himself, so he sends his servants to do his bidding. Now, typically, the tenant farmers would have handed over their fruit and just gone about with the rest of their day. But in our parable, instead of handing over their fruit to the landowner's servants, they kill the servants. Now, the landlord is very confused by their behavior. He comes to the conclusion that, oh, they must have killed my servants because they didn't respect their authority. So maybe next time, instead of sending my servants, I'll send my son to collect the fruit. Remember, in the ancient Near East, the landowner's son would have been expected to take over the landowner's property when he dies. So it's not unreasonable for the landowner to assume that his tenant farmers would respect his son as though he himself went to collect the fruit. But instead of respecting his son, the farmers kill his son too. Now here is where the parable gets a little bit confusing. Jesus asks the chief priests and the elders who have gathered around him as he's telling this parable, what do you think that the landowner is going to do to his tenant farmers? The chief priests and the elders say, of course he's going to kill the wicked tenant farmers and replace them with other tenants. It is now that Jesus realizes that they're not quite getting the point of the parable, and maybe he has to take a different approach. In the parable, the landowner is meant to be a metaphor for God and his son for Jesus. If the landowner just kills the wicked tenants, the tenants would have no opportunity to repent and be forgiven. So instead, God, the landowner, chooses to take what has been rejected and use it for the redemption of humankind. The whole point of this parable is for God, as seen in the landowner, to demonstrate his extravagant, unfathomable love for us. As we talk about during Holy Week and Easter, we say all the time that God loves us so much that he sent his son into the world, knowing that he would die so that we might live. This is the point of the parable, to show that there is nothing we can do that will put us outside of God's love. So what does this parable have to say on this World Communion Sunday? I think the problem of this parable is that the tenant farmers do not respect the authority of the landowner. They don't trust that the landowner is going to protect them, that he's going to use some of the proceeds from this crop to protect them and to provide for their well-being. This parable also illustrates the fact that sometimes we underestimate the vastness of God's love for us. We see this in the response of the chief priests and the scribes who say, like, oh, clearly God is going to kill these misbehaving tenants. The problem is that they focus so much on God's wrath that they can't see why God would choose this other scenario and demonstrate his love for us. Friends, when we gather at the table for communion, what we're doing is we're publicly professing our trust in God's authority and God's love for us as we remember Jesus' last meal with his disciples. When we gather at the table, we profess that our unity in Christ and our unity with one another is the most important reason that we gather for worship each week. My favorite part of the communion liturgy is when I pray this prayer: "By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world." What I love about this prayer is that it reminds us that our celebration of communion does not end at the table. The table is only the beginning of this celebration. Having received the body and blood of Christ, we are called to rise from the table and become the body of Christ in the world, in a world that is sometimes hostile to the gospel, but in a world that is nonetheless hungry and thirsty for the good news of Jesus Christ. Friends, I think it is particularly important that we celebrate communion together in this time and in this place. Like those group of Presbyterians that gathered together in 1933, we are facing a similar, difficult, and weird moment in our history. We too live in a world where unity is hard to come by, where good, rational, intelligent people are disagreeing about how we move forward as a society. Friends, when we gather at the table, we proclaim that that which divides us is not as strong as our unity in Christ. That while we may disagree with one another, this does not change the fact that each and every one of us is a beloved child of God, and that God has called each and every one of us to live our life of discipleship in the context of this particular community. All is ready. Let us prepare ourselves to receive the feast that Christ has prepared for us, knowing that we don't deserve it, and we certainly didn't earn it, but Jesus provides it for us anyway. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, let us prepare ourselves to receive communion with our communion hymn, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea." We're going to remain seated for the hymn.
Thank you.
need your communion liturgy, there should be copies of them in your pew. Friends, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and north and south and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites those who trust him to share the feast which he has prepared.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Oh, it is right to give our thanks and praise.
Wrong one.
That's why we're doing this.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, creator and ruler of the universe. In your wisdom, you made all things and sustained them by your power. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful of every time and place, who forever say to the glory of your name,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we take from your creation this bread and this wine and joyfully celebrate his dying and rising as we await the day of his coming. With thanksgiving, we offer our very selves to you to be a living and holy sacrifice dedicated to your service. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these your gifts of bread and wine, that the bread we break and the cup we bless may be the communion of the body and the blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in ministry in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, send us out to be the body of Christ in the world.
The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it, saying, Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. Every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes. The gifts of God for the people of God.
body of Christ.
Loving God, we thank you that you have fed us in this sacrament, united us with Christ, and given us a foretaste of the heavenly banquet in your eternal kingdom. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory, for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our closing hymn. We're going to sing, God be with you till we meet again. Say a word of blessing as we prepare to go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.